Welcome to You Need Therapy, the Happy People podcast, or in more realistic terms, the mental health podcast for young adults, where we talk about everything mental health related, and we have the conversations that no one wants to have because they're uncomfortable. So welcome to the community. I'm so glad you're here, and let's hop right in. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to pop in with a little update before we get into this episode. If you've been listening for a while, you would know that I've had a sponsorship with BetterHelp Therapy for quite some time now. And I was recently informed through multiple people, through multiple sources, that BetterHelp is not a good company, and that there has been multiple horrible experiences with them and just multiple experiences of they're not putting their patients and their clients first and foremost, which is not something that I want to be representing or sponsoring on this podcast at all. So I will be canceling my partnership with them. I actually just emailed the lady for that, telling her that I want to end that. So that will not be going on from here on out. If you are someone that has used them and had a bad experience, and especially if you are someone that has used them with signing up through my link, using it because of the sponsorship on my podcast, I apologize. I should have done my research earlier on before I even did that, and that was my fault. And so I sincerely apologize for that, but I just found out, and so that will not be going on any longer. So yeah, I just wanted to give you guys that little update and apologize and tell you that I will in fact be doing better on my research before any future sponsorships. So yeah. I also wanted to say that this episode is going to be up a day late. Yesterday was Wednesday. It should have been up yesterday, but I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I was a little hungover, so it just didn't happen. So it's up Thursday. Happy Thursday. Or whenever you're listening to this, I hope you guys are doing okay. I love you all so much, and let's get into the episode. Hello, and welcome back to You Need Therapy. If you are new here, my name is Emily. I am here to help you through all of your mental health ups and downs. If you are not new here, thank you so much for continuing to come back and listen to the episodes and be a part of this little family. I love each and every one of you so, so much, so thank you for coming and listening to this episode today. If you are new here, we start each episode off of what I like to call my life breakdown, and that's where I just loop you guys in on what's been going on since we last talked. And yeah, as always, if you want to share your life breakdown with me, or you just want to talk, or you just want to say hey, or you want to be best friends, or you need to vent about something, you need advice, you just need a shoulder to cry on, whatever. My Instagram is always linked in the description of the episode, as well as the description of the podcast. Both my personal Instagram and the Instagram for the podcast are linked, so feel free to message me on either one of those. I always try my best to answer in a timely manner, so yeah, feel free to message me on either one of those. So without further ado, we're just going to hop on into the life breakdown for the week. Okay, so as we know, or as you might not know if you're new here, I try to be so honest and very upfront and real on this podcast, because that's kind of the whole goal, is to be authentic and to be open and show people that they're not alone in whatever they're feeling. So I'm going to be honest with you guys. We're having a sad day. It's just a sad day. I'm not really going to share why. I know I'm usually pretty open about everything and about what's going on, but why I'm sad, the whole thing involves another party, and so I just don't feel that it is my place to share. And my dog is moving, so I'm sorry if you hear that. So I'm gonna leave it at it's a sad day, And we'll get more into that when we get into kind of the bulk of the episode. But I'm just going to be upfront with you guys on that. And whenever I have sad days, I tend to kind of be sleepier and just slower energy. So if you feel that through the episode, I apologize. But again, we're being honest here. We're being real. And it's not to try and, you know, get any sympathy or make anyone feel bad or anything. I just like to be honest. And, you know, because if you're going through a sad day too, if you're not having the best of time right now, you can have someone to relate to and sit with and be sad with. So let's be sad together. So on a more positive note for life breakdown, I got a septum piercing this weekend, guys. That is something I've wanted to do for quite a bit of time now. And I've always been hesitant to do it. And I haven't really had the time because piercings are kind of hard for me when they're in places that are visible, because I have to have enough time to let it heal so I can take it out due to my job. Because for those of you who don't know or are new here, I'm an actress. So if I get something, you know, like my septum on my nose where it's very visible, if I get it and then immediately I'm starting on a project, I can't take it out, you know, so that doesn't work well. So I kind of was having to wait for a period of time where I had like a long enough break and everything to where it worked so I could do that. And this is that time, really. I kind of worked it out, and this was the optimal time to do that because I don't start my next film till after Christmas. We start in January. And for that film, I already, like, talked to the director, got the okay to get it, that it doesn't really make a difference for the character whether or not she has one. So this was kind of the perfect time to do it. So I went Saturday. The people were so lovely. Oh my gosh. Now, I've been to a couple different piercing slash tattoo shops throughout my life so far. And let me tell you, as a very small kind of cinnamon roll looking young lady, I tend to feel very intimidated in those kinds of shops because I don't think I really fit the criteria of the people who typically get tattoos and piercings. And so I kind of have always been intimidated going into those kinds of shops. But let me tell you, this piercing shop had the most lovely people. It was these two guys, and they were just the nicest humans ever. The guy that did my piercing, oh my goodness. We were cracking jokes. He was so nice. He's very good, very, very good at his job. Did the piercing very nicely. It feels pretty good. A little sore, but feels pretty good. Yeah, so absolutely lovely. So, such a lovely experience. My mom went with me. She held my hand. I did forget to breathe when, after that needle initially went in, I, like, started holding my breath. And the dude's like, "You can breathe. It's okay." And I was like, "I know I can. I just, it's a little difficult right now." Because I my, like, whole body was shuddering. And look, it's not the worst pain. It wasn't the worst pain that I've ever felt. But I, out of all of the piercings that I have, because I do have a few, I would say that was the worst. And I've also gotten, like, I just have, like, the regular nose piercing. It was worse than that. And he said just the regular nose piercing actually was worse than the septum. It was not. I disagree. The septum, that's definitely the most painful piercing I've gotten so far. But it wasn't horrible on pain. I just really haven't felt my other piercings and or tattoos. This was the first one that I've ever really felt that kind of pinch when you get it pierced. But in my defense, I have a very high pain tolerance. So most of my other things I just haven't felt at all. So, you know, who knows? But it's good now. It's a little sore, but we're cleaning her. We're making sure that saline solution is getting used. we're thriving. Although the one dilemma I have run into is I'm not quite sure how I'm supposed to blow my nose while this is healing, because that will hurt. So if you have your septum pierced and you know how to do that while it's healing and it's while it's still sore, please let me know. Please send me tips. Anyway, next thing, what else do I have? Oh, I'm officially going on a little vacation here in a couple weeks. I'm going to Florida on the 11th of December. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to go to the beach and just have a little vacation and thrive in the sunshine. I'm very excited. It'll be fun. I like going places. You know what I think I like most about vacationing? I think I really enjoy the going to like new places every day. And when I say new places, I really mean new restaurants. Because I love food and I love going to new restaurants. And I love going on vacation and finding like the little like hole in the wall kind of places. And like the just like the local, very unique and fun little cafes and ice cream places and little like dinner spots. I think that's so fun. And we're going to Florida, and I love a good dinner with a view, okay? Dinner with a nice little seaside view, a nice ocean view. I'm a sucker for that. I eat that up. I love it. I'm very excited. And you know what else that means? It means we'll be at a hotel, which means hot tubbing. And boy, do I love some hot tubbing. Oh my God, I love a hot tub. I need to get a hot tub. If anyone has a hot tub, let me come use it. Thank you. What else are we talking about? I am a little nervous to go on vacation. So I'm going with my dad and his wife. And I'm not gonna lie, guys, I'm a little nervous because I did get my septum pierced, and I know my dad is not gonna be happy about that. My dad hates septum piercings. My dad doesn't even like my regular nose piercing, okay? And I just know my dad's gonna make like some sort of like joke about me looking like a bull and or a cow. So I'm just mentally preparing myself for that. He's not gonna like it. But you know what? I like it. And that's all that matters, because it's not his nose, it's my nose. So we live and we have a good time. Next things. I need to rant about two things, because these are two things that I came across this morning / this past weekend, and they've been on my mind, so I just need to get it out. The first thing I need to vent about. So, obviously, this past week was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a holiday that is centered around food and eating, which already that in itself can be triggering for so many people. So then on top of that, when I get on TikTok over the weekend and I'm scrolling, as you do, and I find these videos of how to get back on track the day after Thanksgiving, how to get it together, how to de-bloat, blah, 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 blah. Oh my God, that boils my goddamn blood. Let me tell you why. Why do we have to justify eating? Why do we need a, you know, quick fix for, oh, did you eat too much on Thanksgiving? Here's how to fix it. No. What is that? That's so toxic. This girl's video was like, you know, exercise a bunch, drink a bunch of water, go on this long of a walk, do this, 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 and this. And I hate that, because that already, for a lot of people, eating in general is difficult. It is not an easy task to feed yourself every day. So then, when you have a holiday centered around food, and then you have these kinds of people on social media using their platforms to promote any sort of idea that because you ate yesterday, because you ate a lot, because you ate bad food, because you had pie, whatever, you should now feel guilty, so you need a way to fix it. And I hate that. I hate that, because let people eat their goddamn food without feeling guilty about it. You ate on Thanksgiving. Woo! You had you had multiple plates. You had multiple pieces of pie. You had multiple pieces of, whatever. You had a lot to drink. You're bloated. Okay. I was so bloated. That's normal. You bloat after you eat. And especially on days like that when you're eating a lot. If you didn't really eat too much on Thanksgiving, if you weren't feeling it, that's okay too. But the fact that there's people promoting this idea that you ate too much and now feel guilty, I hate that. Never, ever should there be guilt associated with eating. That is something that you have to do to literally survive. Every single day for the rest of your life, that is something that is necessary to keep you alive. So the fact that there is ever been guilt associated with it because of societal standards, that just boils my blood. I just don't like it. So if you ate a lot on Thanksgiving and you were super bloated, woo! You ate good. You ate a bunch of good food. You ate some nice comfort food. You had good food. You had good pie. You had good drinks. Freaking awesome. If the next day you decided, I'm gonna, get up and move my body and maybe, eat healthier today. Maybe one less piece of pie. Maybe I'll go on a walk. Maybe I'll drink some more water. If that was where your mindset was, not because of guilt, but because that's just what you wanted to do, freaking great. Look at you go. If you got up the next day after Thanksgiving and said, you know what? I'm gonna have leftovers and I'm gonna have pie and we're gonna do it again. Look at you go. Look at you. That's awesome. Because in those two scenarios, or whatever scenario your days look like, you are eating. You are nourishing your body in some way. And that is all good. Guess what? The day after Thanksgiving, that Friday, I woke up and I had pie for breakfast. Because we had pie. And I like pie. And it felt like a pie for breakfast kind of morning. And that's great. I had a good time. I enjoyed that. And then guess what? I didn't do anything for the rest of the day. I took a fat nap right in the middle of the day. And when I wasn't napping, I was laying in bed reading or watching a show. My mom was napping. We didn't leave the house. We didn't even get out of our pajamas. It was a great day. I had pie. And then I had some more pie. And then I had some stuffing. And then probably more pie. And it was great. And no matter what you're eating, there should never be an ounce of guilt associated with that. So if you are one of the people posting the hacks for you ate too much at Thanksgiving, here's what to do to fix it, respectfully, go and fuck yourself. Because that is such a toxic mindset. A, to promote on other people. B, to be promoting on yourself. You shouldn't feel the need to justify eating. It shouldn't be, well, I got up and I worked out this morning, so I can eat a little more today. Or, well, I'll eat a bunch today, have a good time, because I know I'm going to work out and be really healthy tomorrow. Or, oh, well, I didn't get up and work out this morning, so I'm going to eat less. No. Food should not be a reward. It should not be, I did this much today, so now I can eat. Food should never be a reward. It should never be, if I get through this, and this on my to-do list, then I'll let myself take a break. Then I'll have lunch. It should never be a goal. It should never be there should never be any justification. It should never, just eat. Your body needs it to survive. and to be strong and to be happy and to feel energized, you need it. So it should never be a reward. Never. Ever. Okay? Okay. Next thing I need to vent about. Because, oh my goodness, another thing that's getting my blood boiling, and I'm sorry, but I feel the need to vent about this. Okay, so I was tippity-tappity through snappity-chappity this morning, okay? And I was going through the little subscriptions, little tabs, and I came upon the Daily Mail tab with all the little, you know, the news things and all the little, the celebrity gossip and, you know, all the things to keep you updated on the world. And I saw one of the little articles was about the movie Strange World that just came out this past weekend. And it was talking about how it did not do very well opening weekend in the box office. And I was like, oh, that sucks. It looks really cute. Like the trailer, it looked pretty fun. Let me read why they think it didn't do well. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe the movie was slow. Maybe the marketing, they didn't do too well of marketing for it. Maybe, like, I'm thinking that's what they're talking about. Nope. They're talking about how people are saying it failed because the main protagonist was an openly gay character. Yeah, so if you're absolutely baffled by that, like I was, we're on the same page. Because I read that and I just wanted to go off on somebody. This is what people are thinking. And this is what people are tweeting and saying and putting in the reviews, is that because they were pushing the sexual LGBTQ plus woke agenda on kids, that's why it failed. And then I was reading some of the reviews people were sending in, or some of the tweets people were, you know, posting. And it was just, there was one. And here is where it gets me. Because Disney is doing this to provide representation. Because everyone should have movies and TV shows and books and toys and everything. Every single person should be able to look at things like that and see themselves in, you know, in some of that. There should be so many options so everyone can see themselves in something, right? That's why that is happening. That is the entire goal of representation for everyone, because it is so important to be able to see yourself in media, okay? So when people are talking about they're just trying to push their sexual woke agenda on kids, it just boils my blood to a new extent, because that is not what is going on. We're just trying to provide representation. And I don't know where this idea came from that allowing kids to know that queer people exist. I don't know where that idea that that's suddenly sexual all of a sudden, and we're trying to push this sexual agenda on these kids. I don't know where that came from. It's not like we're, you know, forcing children to watch gay porn, okay? But that is how some people are reacting to this. And there was a tweet of a dad who said, if I wanted to teach my kids about sex and sexual orientation, I would teach that to them at home. I don't need the movies to do that for them. I don't need Disney doing that for them. And here's where the problem lies there, because a parent who is going to talk like that and get upset about a gay character in a Disney movie is not going to talk about those things at home with their kids. And where that becomes a problem is if that child or their children or whatever, when these kids that have parents like that end up being gay or lesbian or trans or queer in any way, there is a huge question mark going around in their head. They're like, well, I have a crush on this boy in my class, but all that I ever hear mom and dad talk about is boys being with girls, and all that I've ever been allowed to see on TV or hear about or anything is boys being with girls. So I don't really understand, because I have a crush on this boy, but I'm supposed to be having a crush on girls, but I don't. So now I'm confused and I don't really know what's going on. And I keep hearing about, you know, how that's wrong. So now I should feel wrong in this and I should feel guilty. And now there's shame and that's unnatural. So now I need to hate myself for this. And it just is a domino effect. And I can speak on this from personal experience with those thoughts. Okay. So that's why that representation, even in children's movies, is so important. Because I think we tend to think that kids are a lot dumber than they are. And because we're acting like you're not gonna know about sex and sexuality and all these things until you're like 16 years old. I think that's what some of these people have going through their minds, when in reality, a lot of these kids are having these questioning thoughts when they're like 8. Okay? That's when I started having these questioning thoughts, like 4th, 5th grade, maybe 3rd grade. With these questioning thoughts are happening, you know? So stop trying. And again, we're not saying that you have to be teaching your kids about sex when they're itty bitty, but they're gonna start having thoughts. And then once they get to, you know, 10, 11, hormones start kicking in. They're in middle school. They're learning about sex from their friends. I hate to, you know, be the one to let you know. They're learning about sex from their friends. I was in 6th grade. It was like my 1st or 2nd day of 6th grade, and I was learning what 69 meant, okay? Kids are not these stupid little don't know anything unless mommy and daddy tell them. No, they're learning. They have hormones. They have feelings. They're getting these thoughts. They're hearing stuff. So then when it gets to, you know, these hormones, you haven't had any talk about sex with them. You haven't had any talk about sexuality with them. You've had none of this conversations. You haven't even opened up your space to be a safe place to ask questions and to have these sort of conversations. So then they're going and learning from their friends, who also probably don't know too much about it because they're fresh out the boat to these sorts of feelings. And then I hate to tell you this, some kids in middle school, they're going to be having sex, okay? They're going to be experimenting, and then they're going to be doing it in a, you know, more dangerous, not very safe manner, because they don't know, because there's this refusal to talk about these things until they're, you know, older. And there's such a shame around it, around everything, around sexuality, around sex in general, and there's such a, and I hate to say this, there's such a sexualization to it, because there, and not to place blame on anything, but I think a lot of that can, you know, kind of lead back to organized religion, and there's such a shame around exploring your feelings and your hormones and sex and masturbation and talking about it. There's such a shame around this. So then if you're growing up in an environment that is promoting that shame and emphasizing that shame, you're going to start to have those feelings, and then you're going to hate yourself and think that you're doing something wrong by having these feelings that are completely natural. So let's maybe stop putting such sexualization on hormones and sex and start just acknowledging it as something that is human and natural and going to, you know, come into your life when your hormones start coming into your life. Okay? And let's stop doubting kids so much on what their brains can understand and what they, and stop telling them what they're gonna know at what age and what they're not gonna know at what age, because I'm so sick of the argument of, well, kids that young don't really know anything about sexuality or sexual orientation or what they feel. They don't know. Yeah, they do. They're starting to question it, at least. Again, fourth grade, I was starting to have these questioning thoughts of, well, I think I might like girls in that way. I think it'd be really interesting to be able to kiss one of my female friends, but I've heard that's wrong, so I'm only supposed to think about boys in that way, so I'm just gonna keep that, you know, stuff down. That was how early those thoughts were coming into my brain, okay? So stop telling kids that they don't know. Start maybe acknowledging them like human beings. Sure, they're tiny human beings, but they are still human beings. And instead of telling them what they know and what they should know and what age is okay to do this, 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 and this, maybe just start having conversations with them and opening up the space to allow them to ask questions and to be curious and to learn at the pace that they're learning at. Okay? And stop saying we're trying to push some sexual agenda on these kids when we're just trying to give representation, when they are just trying to give representation. So a Disney movie had a gay main protagonist. Oh my goodness, the world is ending. That's the only reason the movie did bad. What if the movie did bad just because the movie did bad, just because it wasn't maybe a great movie? Guess what? There's plenty of movies that have done horribly and everyone in the movie was straight. Sometimes movies just don't do well. Sometimes marketing wasn't as well as it should be, so not too many people knew about it. And that's maybe why opening weekend at the box office didn't do as well. There are so many reasons why something couldn't have done as well. And if it was because the main character was gay and because people had such an issue with that, that's fuck the people that have an issue with that. It's the same types of people that had an issue with the lesbian kiss in Lightyear. What? That was a 2-second little smooch on the lips between wives, between two women that were married and had a baby. Oh my goodness, they kissed. Oh, the world is ending. What? That, it just is so ridiculous to me. We're just trying to show representation for everyone. For your kids, yeah. For the adults watching these movies. For everyone, because everyone deserves to see themselves in some form, somewhere. And I can tell you also, as someone who's, as a queer person, not seeing yourself when you're little, not seeing yourself in those Disney movies, in those kids' movies, in those cartoons and the shows, it does have an effect. Because now, as an adult, there is such a fear, because I grew up idolizing the princesses with the prince, getting their prince charming, living happily ever after. There's almost a fear of missing out on that, because that's all that I saw growing up. That's all that I had to idolize growing up. But what if we show kids that, hey, here's a bunch of different options for what can happen, and look how beautiful every single relationship is. Look how beautiful every single relationship is. So however you want to, you know, go in life, whoever you want to love, whoever you want to marry, it's going to be beautiful because all these different people are happy. That's why representation is important. It's not gonna kill anyone to see a main character in a kid's movie that's gay. Because guess what? Also, the people who are scared that because their kids see, you know, queer people in kids' movies that, oh my God, they saw a gay person, so now they're going to grow up to be gay. Guess what? If they're gay, they're going to grow up to be gay regardless. Okay? I was raised incredibly Catholic, watching, for the most part, very traditional things, and I still ended up here. So, you know, doesn't really matter. If they are in any form LGBTQ+, if they are queer, they're going to grow up like that anyway. But how you raise them and how you treat them and how you what you show them and how they see themselves in media and in books and in history and everything, that is going to be the determining factor of whether they grow up proud of who they are or they grow up with a boatload of shame and a boatload of self-loathing and internalized homophobia. Because yes, they want to love who they want to love, but they also feel guilt with that because they grew up hearing that that was unnatural. They grew up never seeing that in the movies, in TV, in books, etc. So that's the big difference. And that's why representation is important. So everyone who had threw such a hissy fit over the main protagonist in Strange World being gay, fuck you. To all the people who threw a hissy fit over live action Little Mermaid, live action Ariel being black, fuck you. Representation matters. And you can literally pull up statistics, and there's like a bunch of research done. There's even a documentary done on it, on why representation is so important. I talked about it in another podcast episode when I was doing an interview with someone. I don't remember which one, but there's literally this documentary. I found it on Netflix, and it was talking about when they started showing female detectives in like crime shows. So in like Criminal Minds and NCIS and like stuff like that, when they started showing female lead detectives, the amount of women enrolling in criminology courses in college like jumped. I think it was like almost 40-something%. So that is just a little example, a little snippet of why representation is so important. It does make a difference. How you raise and talk to your kids makes a difference. So just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. That's all. That's all. Those are my little rants, okay? So I know that was extremely long, and I apologize. But also, I'm not going to apologize, because those are two things that need to be said and need to be talked about. So, yeah. I got a little riled up there. Okay, now we're going to get into the actual bulk of the episode. So yeah, let's do that. So are you having a sad day? If you're having a great day, yay. If you're having a sad day, that's okay. I am too. We're going to do it together and we're going to work through it and it's going to be okay. So let's have a sad day together. So the first thing that I want to emphasize on if you're having a sad day is to allow yourself to have that. Allow yourself to feel that. Allow yourself to sit in that feeling. Recognize it. It's okay. You don't need to be happy and positive and having a great day every day. It's okay to be sad. That's just human emotions. And you know, if you've been listening to the last couple episodes, I started antidepressants. I started Prozac. And I was almost a little relieved when I started to get sad last night and then I was sad today because I was like, you know what? At least I'm still having all the entire range of emotions, you know, like a win is a win. At least I'm feeling things. At least I'm not numb. At least my little heart's still working properly. You know, it's getting sad over things. So yeah, let yourself sit in that feeling. Recognize it. Cry, okay? Listen to sad music. Allow yourself to feel however you're feeling. And the most important part of this is to not invalidate it. And don't let anyone else invalidate it. How you're feeling is how you're feeling. You really don't have any control over that. You have control how you react to it, but you don't have control over how you're initially feeling. So, and you know, this is still something that I need to work on, because when I started to, feel sad last night, and then, you know, slightly cried myself to sleep, and then woke up today and was like, I'm still sad. It's just going to be one of the disease. We're going to sit in it, and that's just how it's going to happen. But last night, when I started to feel sad for the reason, again, the situation that I'm not going to share because it's not really my place to share it, the situation that is causing me to feel sad, I felt my first initial reaction to it was that this is silly to feel sad over. I shouldn't be feeling sad over this. And also, I was just because of the situation that it is, I was like, this is not my place to feel sad over it. So then I stopped myself and I was like, whoa. Emily, you're feeling sad. And there's a reason that you're feeling sad. There's a reason your body and your heart and your brain are reacting to said situation like this. And that's just how it's going to be. And that's okay. Don't invalidate it. It's not silly. However you react to something, it's not silly. You feel how you feel. You know? There's no control of that. So don't invalidate how you're feeling. You have control over how you handle what you're feeling. But you don't have control over how you're feeling. Because there's going to be things that you're sad about. And you might be a little confused on why you're sad about it. But that's just how your body is choosing to react. There, you know, and that goes for all emotions. So how you then proceed with those emotions and how you're feeling and how you take control then of that situation, that's what you have control over. And that's, again, why it's so important. You have control to sit in what you're feeling and to acknowledge it and to validate it and to remind yourself that it's not always gonna be like this, but it is right now. So let's just feel sad, because it's better to feel it, you know, when the wound is fresh, the band-aid is ripped off, you know, it's better to feel it then than suppressing it. And then you're sad another day, and then you suppress that, and then you're angry one day, and you suppress that, and then you kind of get into a depressive episode, and you suppress that, and then you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing all the feelings down, and then you're just gonna explode, and then it's everything. You have absolutely no choice but to feel it all at once. So it's better to take each individual feeling and feel it in the moment when it's happening. And it's healthy. It really is. Feel your feelings. It's so important. So that's kind of the first thing that I think is super important to make sure you're doing. Now I think the next things I'm going to share are kind of like some little tips that kind of help me. To after you've kind of sat in the feeling and you've acknowledged it, you've cried, you listened to your sad music, maybe you took a nap, you know, however that works for you, the things then that I use to kind of give myself little spurts of happiness throughout the sad, one of the things that I like to do is to make a little list of just like little simple things that make me happy, not like big, like when you reach a goal, when you blah, 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 but like little tiny simple things in life that make you smile. So like my first thing, and I was looking out my window when I was planning the podcast episode today, I was looking out my window and there's a lake, a little lake by my house. I don't know if it's a lake or a pond. It's a body of water of some sort. And I was looking at it, and then that was the first thing on my list, is that it really makes me happy when you see water when there's sun shining on it, because it sparkles and it has that kind of like shimmer and that glisten to it. And that makes me really happy. And then I was sitting and I looked out the other window and I can see the neighbor's backyard from where I'm sitting. And two of the neighbors came out and they're sitting on their patio and they're chatting and laughing. And that made me really happy because I think positive human interactions like that are just the most beautiful thing. I really do. I love that. It's also sunny today. So that also went on my list. I really like when it's sunny. So, you know, those are just some of my examples, like little just kind of things that you notice throughout life, kind of that naturally occurring in the world. And that kind of puts me into my second tip for helping, is people watching. And I know this might sound silly, but I really think it's helpful. Like, I'm going to go, after I record this, I'm going to go drive to a park that I know is usually busy. And I'm just going to sit and I'm going to look at the lake and I'm going to people watch. Because I think, like I was saying about the people that I can see on their back patio, I think human interactions are just so fun. And it makes me think of, if you guys, it is the holiday season. So the movie Love Actually, watching it on repeat, love that movie. But the beginning of that movie is, it's like opening and it's just a bunch of different people and interactions. And it's like, if you look for it, love is all around. And I think that's why people watching can really help in like making you happy, because to see people living their lives, because it's so interesting because everyone has a different life that they're living. You know, this is a sad day for me, but for somebody else, it could be the absolute best day of their life. And I think that's so interesting that we're all just existing at the same time on these completely different paths. And that's so cool. And so I think that's why people watching really helps, is because you can see people having amazing days. You could maybe see someone that's not having a very good day, and that kind of resonates with you because you're like, we're both having sad days, and that's okay. And, you know, maybe people are out for a walk. Maybe I really like, when I'm people watching, I really like to see, like, really old couples, like, walking in a park or just sitting and reading or just out and about, because it warms my heart. Because I'm just like, look at you, living your life. I love it. The next thing is comfort food. If you're feeling a little sad, get some sort of food or snack or treat that makes you happy. I did that this morning and I went and got Starbucks because I knew my little Starbucks drink would make me happy. And my dog is walking again. I'm sorry if you can hear her. So anyway, go get something that's going to make your tummy happy, because that'll make you happy. Maybe a treat. Maybe it's a burrito. Maybe it's a baked good. Maybe it's your favorite bowl of cereal. Maybe it's chicken pot pie. You know, whatever it is. Just have your comfort food or your little comfort treat if you can. The next thing that is so helpful, a good nap. And specifically, a good floor nap. Because I don't know what it is about being sad and then just lying on the floor and just zonking out, man. But it's just so therapeutic. So take a floor nap. Or a regular nap if you're not a fan of floor naps. I like a good couch nap, especially if it's like a nap when it's still light outside. I love a good couch nap, you know? So whatever nap you're feeling, I think a good nap can help when you're feeling a little sad, because it kind of just gives you a little break and a little breather. Maybe it can give you some more energy, because I know when I'm having a bad day, I feel very low on energy and motivation in general. So, you know, a nap can always help that. And just the most important thing besides sitting in your feeling and validating how you're feeling is to just remember that it won't always be like this. I promise. Life is all about the ups and the downs and riding the waves. And nothing about life is linear. Growth isn't linear. Life isn't linear. Nothing in this world is linear, okay? Except lines that you draw. But, you know, you're going to go through ups and downs, and you're going to have really high highs, and you're going to have really low lows, and you're going to be, you know, chugging on through life and hitting your goals, and then you're going to have a setback, and the path's going to change a little, and then you get, you know, back into it, and then you're going to get knocked down again, and then you're going to be sad again, and then you'll be super happy again. And life is just, it's really constantly changing and wavy and loop-de-loops, and it's all over the place. And that's where the beauty of life comes in, is embracing how, you know, messy and chaotic and interesting it can be. Because I think if life was straightforward and everyone had the same path that they were on, and it was all very hit this and then this and then this and then this, I think it would be quite boring. If everyone just did that, that would be boring. And I know it doesn't necessarily seem like a good thing when you're sad, but embracing the hard parts of life is just part of the beauty of it all. And it's also showing you that you can do hard things. You can do it. I promise. I know it might feel like you can't, and like it's hard, and like it sucks, and like maybe you feel like you're alone, maybe you feel like you need a hug. First of all, virtual hugs to all of you, but it is gonna be okay. I promise. You've been through so much, because let's be real, life is hard. Especially if you're kind of in that main demographic of my podcast listeners, and you're kind of in your 20s right now, you're in your young adult, it's hard. This age is so hard, because I don't know about anyone else, but I don't know what the fuck is going on, okay? I'm lost. I'm all over the place, okay? But it can kind of be fun, too. It's kind of like a puzzle that you have to figure out. And you might be at a point right now where you're kind of at a plateau, because you can't figure out where this one piece goes. And maybe, you know, you're making the border of your puzzle right now, and you're like, I don't know where a couple of these pieces go, and it's not making a lot of sense right now. And I kind of just, I'm a little frustrated. Just take a step back from your puzzle. Breathe. Get some food. Take a nap, take a walk, go people watch, go watch your favorite show, go listen to some music, go hug a person you like hugging, you know, whatever you need to do. Then come back to your puzzle and try again. And that's all life is about. And I think the coolest part about life is that nothing except death is ever guaranteed. Like, we all know we're gonna die one day, you know you're born and you know you die. You don't know any of the in between. No one does, because it's nothing set yet for anyone. Nothing set. That's your story to write. Your pages are blank right now. You have the pen, and if you need to take a step back from writing, that's okay. Take a step back. The best books take years upon years to write. The best stories develop over long periods of time. So don't feel like you need to have everything figured out right now. You don't have to have your story written down right now. You don't even need to have the rough draft. You're just in the planning stage right now. You're putting down bullet points. You're just thinking. You're researching. You know, you're writing, and there's tear stains on the paper, and it's okay. It's okay. You're going to be okay. Yeah. I'm here to hold your hand. And, you know, we're all going through it. I'm going through it. You might be going through it. You might feel like you're not going through it right now. You might be having the time of your life, and that makes me so happy for you. And if you're not having a good time, well then, bring it in. Let's hug it out. Let's hold hands and let's walk through it together. Because everyone needs support, you know, for everything. I don't think it's ever good to go through things alone. But if you also feel like you need to go through something alone, that's okay. Do whatever you think is going to be best for you. Just know that I'm always here if you need a hand to hold. If you come to the decision that you don't want to do anything, you don't want to work through the hard alone anymore, I'm here. I'm here to hold your hand and to let you know that you're not alone and that you're okay and that you will feel better. So, on that note, we're going to end the episode. I love you all so much. If you haven't heard that yet today, I love you with my whole heart, with my whole being, my head to my toes, everything in me. And you're doing amazing wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. If you're just surviving today, that's incredible because that's really hard to do. And I'm just so proud of each and every one of you. I love you so, 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 so much. And I will talk to you in the next episode.